Good morning. I have to think that our blessed Lord is going to give us all extra special graces for coming out through this treacherous weather. So God bless you for coming out in all of this. It really is quite interesting having to live through Snowmageddon in South Carolina. So God bless you again. And please be careful on your way out of the parking lot and back home. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Today, in the extraordinary form of our Roman Rite, marks the beginning of a season called Pre-Lent. Now, as you know, there's 40 days to Lent, and in Latin, that season is called Quadragesima, for 40. The word Lent that we use in English is just an old English word for spring. Those 40 days represent the 40 days our Lord spent fasting in the wild, but also the 40 years the chosen people wandered around during the Exodus. The journey to the Promised Land through the Red Sea is a foreshadowing of the Christian journey to heaven through the waters of baptism at the Easter Vigil. The early Christians celebrated the 40 days before Easter with an intense period of prayer and fasting. But they even marked out 70 days before Easter as well, with a period to prepare for Lent, called Septuagesima, after the Latin word for 70. Now, if you go to your calendar, you'll note that there are not actually 70 days of 24 hours between now and Easter Sunday. The church, based on a style used in the scriptures, kind of rounds the numbers up. But if you count the 8 days of the Easter octave as well, then you still get 70. So it just depends on how you do your calculations. There are 3 Sundays in pre-Lent, and they're called Septuagesima, Sexagesima, and Quinquagesima, 70, 60, and 50. And the whole season is called Septuagesimatide. Just as the 40-year exodus of the Israelites is mirrored by Lent, so too the 70 years that the Israelites were held captive in Babylon are represented by the 70 days. An 11th century English monk, Elfric, writes, "In Septuagesima we humiliate ourselves willingly for our sins, just as the Hebrew people was humiliated unwillingly for 70 years, serving the king of Babylon without joy or happiness, we serve the voice of the bridegroom." Now, the idea is that these 3 weeks are kind of a doorway to Lent. Okay? I don't know about you, but so often, you know, we're just kind of, you know, swimming along in ordinary time, and then all of a sudden I look at the calendar, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's Shrove Tuesday, Lent starts tomorrow, what am I going to do? And all of a sudden you're thinking, where do we begin? What am I going to give up? How is this going to work? These 3 weeks of Septuagesima are this doorway to something of Lent. Pope St. Gregory the Great, who institutionalized the season in the Roman Rite in the 5th century, wrote that the season is a call to conversion, like the call of the householder in Matthew chapter 20. He writes, "The householder, therefore, in the morning early, at the 3rd, the 6th, the 9th, and the 11th hour, hires laborers to till his vineyard. Because from the beginning of the world until the end, he does not cease to gather preachers to instruct the multitude of the faithful. From the morning of the world was from Adam to Noah, the 3rd hour from Noah to Abraham, the 6th hour from Abraham to Moses, the 9th hour from Moses to the coming of the Lord, the 11th hour from the Lord's coming till the end of the world." What that means is that you and I are living in that 11th hour. And the church calls us to constant conversion, that constant coming back to the Lord with everything that we have and everything that we are. Now, whether you're thinking, wow, this is a lesson in lots of historical liturgical arcana, Father, where is this going? How does this affect my spiritual life? Well, there is a point to all of this. I want you to think about the first reading that we just heard this morning. The people of Israel, after their 70 years in the Babylonian captivity, had forgotten their own sacred history. They didn't know the Ten Commandments. They didn't know the story of how God had saved them from the bondage of the Egyptians. As far as everything God had done for them as a people, they were almost entirely illiterate. Okay? That's why it's so important for us to hand down the faith as whole and entire as we can, because people forget. Okay? The Israelites were living in a foreign country, away from their faith and away from their promised land for 70 years. And after 70 years, they'd just forgotten everything. So when they finally got back there, why are we even here? Well, I don't know. So something about, you know, something God did some time ago. That's all they knew. So when they returned to the land that had been promised to them before their idolatry and sin ruined it for them, the priest Ezra gets up. And this is one of my favorite scenes in the scripture. You can totally imagine all the Israelites, they're all gathered around. So the priest Ezra gets up and he just starts to read from the book of the law. And so many of them were hearing it for the very first time. And how did they respond? Nehemiah tells us, all the people, their hands raised high, answered, "Amen, amen." Then they bowed down and prostrated themselves before the Lord, their faces to the ground. We live in a similar time when even some Christians have forgotten the divinely revealed precepts of the moral law, when we're forgetful of our sacred history, the story of how God has worked wonders to save us from our sins. And so the church calls us at every moment to not forget the wondrous works of the Lord, what he has done for us, and to call us to always be coming back to him. Pope Paul VI would say that the three Sundays of pre-Lent are like the bells that summon the faithful to church at various intervals before Mass. You know, if you've ever been to Europe in any major city on Sunday morning, you hear bells going all morning long, right? 15 minutes before Mass, 10 minutes before Mass, 5 minutes before Mass. The church summons us little by little to withdraw from the ordinary workaday world, to enter into the desert of Lent. So that by the time Ash Wednesday comes around, we enter through the threshold of the 40 days and are ready to engage in the spiritual combat that is Lent. Now, of course, the irony is that the same pope who spoke so eloquently of Septuagesima abolished the entire season in 1969. So, after it had been a part of Catholic worship for 14 centuries, today, pre-Lent survives only in the extraordinary form, the Latin Mass, the Anglican ordinary rite, and in a certain form in the East. But before, it really was kind of a big deal. In the Middle Ages, a huge placard with a chant for the Alleluia was solemnly buried in a prison-like tomb on this day, and the joyful Alleluia was silenced until one of the altar servers at the Easter Vigil would dig it up, okay, as a symbol of this Alleluia of Jesus risen from the dead, and bring it to the priest to intone at the Easter Vigil. Okay? In the extraordinary form, the vestments are purple, the Gloria is not sung, but organ and flowers are permitted, and the prayers focus on the way we as humans have undone ourselves by sin, and why we need God's grace, and we need his mercy. In the Divine Office, today we start from the beginning at Genesis in our Bible reading to remind ourselves of salvation history, of all of the wonders that God has worked throughout history for love of us. Today, in the ordinary form, Septuagesima has ceased to exist, so we're still in the green ordinary Sundays after Epiphany. Okay? Okay? So we do just kind of parachute right into Lent on Ash Wednesday, kind of like plunging into a cold pool instead of easing into it. But I think we've had enough of cold the past few days. But it's what we've got, so we obey Mother Church, who wanted to simplify her liturgical calendar. That was the reason behind the decision. But there's no reason why we can't in some way begin to think about Lent, so that by the time Ash Wednesday comes around, we're not scrambling around trying to figure out what to do, which is usually what I'm doing around the time that Ash Wednesday starts. Last year, those of you who are here will remember that as a parish, we did a communal celebration of Lent, whereby we all did different penances and mortifications, as well as certain scripture readings, each week of the season. And I had so many of you comment and say, that was an amazing experience, and more difficult than we thought, because you know, so often we thought, okay, well, there's only 1 week that I have to give up the internet, or 1 week that I have to give up chocolate. Well, it ended up being a little bit harder than we thought, right? This year, our special thing as a parish is to invite you to sign up for a daily email, which will guide you through the whole celebration of Lent. You'll remember that as a parish, we've read a couple of books by Matthew Kelly. If you go to dynamiccatholic.com/Lent, don't worry about it. You know, it'll be in the bulletin, so you don't have to worry about it now. You can sign up for this Lenten program designed by him and the Dynamic Catholic Institute. Okay? My sermon series will be entitled Temptation, The Truth About Lies. And we will spend the entirety of Lent talking about what happens before we even commit a sin and how to battle the demons both inside and out. Okay? My suggested reading for Lent has a title which some of you may think, that sounds kind of lightweight, Father, what's this all about? But I assure you it is no lightweight book in terms of concepts, although it might be a little bit easier to read than the book on Acedia that we did during Advent. Father Lovosik has a book called The Hidden Power of Kindness, a practical handbook for souls who dare to transform the world one deed at a time. And finally, we have a religious education series for adults during Lent, which is about beauty, about how beauty in art and music and the liturgy brings us to God. So we certainly have a lot going on this Lent. I want this Lent, which is coming up, to be the best Lent ever. Okay? The best one for me, the best one for all of us. And so we still have some time before it starts, but I wanted to take today's Septuagesima to call us to begin to prepare.